Kamala Harris being the vice president, bro, that's
it.
One of, bro,
I love it.
I talked to my wife about it. If Kamala ever winked at me, I got a pass. My wife will let me sneak off with Kamala. I love Kamala, man.
What?
That's what we about. My wife told me, like, if Kamala ever was to look at you because I'm fine and be like, ooh, come on back to the room, I'm going to go to Kamala's
room.
We
had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he got to eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You got to light the wooden wheels straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Season 2, episode 1. A lot has happened since the last time we got together. NBA restart. NFL kickoff is, you know, 6 days away. More killings, more rioting, more shootings. But before we even touch on any of that, I think it's only right, Channing, you got his shirt on, Chadwick.
Yeah.
Bozeman, why did his death rock our culture the way it did?
All we've been going through, and we all know what happened. George Floyd was last season, and Aubrey was last season. Now we got Jacob Blake this season. But just knowing that Chad Bozeman, what he did and what roles he played, bro, think about it. Jackie Robinson, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, he was a little crazy.
Yeah.
But, bro, the man revolutionized music. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the Black Panther, man. My kids know more about Black Panther than they do Thurgood Marshall. Like, what Chad did in his show, he wasn't Samuel. He was not Denzel. But what he did in his little window when I knew what that name meant, bro, what he did in that window was something for us. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we're talking about, just representation. This man was not a co-star, the star.
Yeah.
Of big-time blockbusters worldwide in his short career. And that's why I'm wearing this shirt, and that's why we got a Bozeman picture in my house, and my kids gonna know that's not just Black Panther. That is a Black leader, even though his window was small.
Yeah.
I think what he was able to do in such a short amount of time, but not only that, he was so relatable to the different eras, the different generations. Obviously, for us, we understand, we know the history on Jackie Robinson. Then you take the Black Panther role, which more for the younger generation. Also, us, you think about how everybody came out. How did everybody dress up to go to the movie?
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, doing what kind of, it was a global thing, not just here, over in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, players would score on a soccer pitch and be throwing up the X. You know, he meant so much, and what he was able to do, I think his impact was so big because everybody was able to relate to him regardless of the roles he played.
Yeah. For me, he was just a good dude. You know, like, take the career out of it, take the roles, take the movies out of it. He was just a good dude. I remember him, you know, running into him at events, Paris weekend, and you know, it was amazing. And I just remember running to him, he was solo. And the entire night we just stood by each other and just talking. And he was, like you said, Chad, he was so relatable and approachable and humble. I'm like, bro, you're Black Panther, right? So. I mean, that's one of the things that stood out to me outside of all of the accolades is really what type of dude he was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
When you talk about Chad, you talk about the culture, really, at the end of the day. I'm going to throw S.A. alley-oop back here in the corner. You know, he's a Howard Bison. You know what I'm saying? Same. Shout out to the vice president candidate, Kamala Harris, right? So we're going to get into that later.
Yeah.
But,
know, she went to Hampton now. She gonna,
I'm talking about HBCU.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, bro.
She know she gonna come on the show. She gonna make a.
That's why I said shout out to S.A.
That's the first thing she gonna say. It's happening.
No.
Kamala went to Howard. Okay, Kamala went to Howard. Let's make it clear.
Time out. Listen, let's talk about the culture, period.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What he influenced.
Yes.
You know, and the fact that, you know, he was able to persevere. You know, through everything that he was going through, he kept pushing. You know, even filming Black Panther, mm-hmm. You know, from the stories I've heard, in the time that they filmed Black Panther, and also was the time he was fighting for his life. You know, he continued to smile. He continued to, you know, focus on making sure he spoke words of encouragement to our youth. You know, and really for that, man, it just shows you how gutsy he was and how big his heart was.
And quickly talking about Black people, uplifting up Black people, Chadwick Boseman got into some seminar, some kind of class at Oxford, but it cost money. And he didn't have money like that. He wasn't Black Panther at the time. He was a college student. Denzel paid his way to the Oxford course. If Denzel never lifted that black man up, would he have been Black Panther? Would he have been Thurgood Marshall? Would he have been Jackie Robinson? That's just Denzel saw something in him and just a little financial boost, whatever he had to do to get that man to what we know him of. So just know that the OG Denzel helped out what we know and what you're talking about, the culture, and that it goes deeper than that. That's deeper. That's helping out. That's pushing forward. That's reaching down and pulling people up.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be missed. I mean, just, you know, it really rocked our culture and our community. And I mean, and not just our culture and our community, but he really touched people, like you said earlier, around the world. Right. So definitely going to be missed. True legend. NBA restart.
The restart.
Let's start with the restart.
Let's start with the restart.
I mean, for me, they exceeded my expectations. I thought this brand of basketball was going to be trash.
AAU on steroids.
That's what you call it?
You think so? I think it's pretty much still the same, just no fans.
Right.
That's it. I wish they would allow the audio to be played so it was more authentic so you could actually hear what everybody's saying. That'd be dope, but I think it's still the same. You get the same product. You have the best team playing, you know, trying to win a championship, and it's just you have no fans in the stands.
Let me ask you this, Ocho. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In your career in the NFL, during your time in the NFL, did you have this one guy, right, that was great in practice without the fans? And, you know
exactly
what I'm saying? You always had that one guy.
Yeah.
He balled his ass off in practice. And you go and you vouch for him, coach.
Scout team, All-American. That's what we
said. That's what they called him.
I think he ready. Ooh. But you put him out there in the lights and the fans, he can't do nothing.
Y'all think that really affects people?
Yes.
Man, it does.
Friends, TJ, right. Listen, TJ Ward. TJ Ward.
Safety?
No, no. NBA? I mean, TJ Warren.
Oh, yeah, okay.
T.J. Warren.
Yeah.
For the Pacers now.
Dropping 50.
The boy never scored 50 points in his entire life, ever. He never scored. He didn't score 50 points as a four-year-old. He dropped 50 when the bubble started. Fred, I believe there's some dudes that can't perform with those eyes looking at him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think
there's
that had that kind of effect.
A lot of guys showed up that wasn't naturally probably
good
time, bro.
NBA, you think NBA fans are that ruly to where it affects your performance on the court? It's different. NFL fans, it's different.
I don't think it's
about the fans. You can't even talk trash to the player, so it really can't affect you that much.
It's the player's mindset.
It's the big lights. It's you walking out. Everybody's dressed up. They watching you. They got their camera out. I think there's a lot to that.
It's bigger in the NFL. I mean, it's bigger in the NBA.
When you,
they don't have no helmets. I used to hide under my helmet. They go ball out.
When you in
the NBA, you can't do that.
When you in a game, you don't even hear the fans. You in a zone anyway.
Dudes aren't like that. Bro, people be thinking about.
Don't listen to
My mom's in that corner. My dad's in that corner. I got three girls over here.
You falling for it. Why are you listening to him? That's the first thing he did when he came out the tunnel was interact with the fans. Oh. During the game, that's all he did.
But we're talking about performing.
Will Chad be Chad? Chad be Ocho?
You know
that's
what?
That's the question.
No, you're not.
Chad.
No way.
Nobody watching?
It wouldn't matter. I would still be me.
I have no choice.
I have no choice but to perform because whoever's in front of me, I done talked trash to him all week. I ain't got no choice.
But Chad, you gonna put on the gold jersey or throw money to the ref with no fans? Chad, you ain't do that for the fans.
It's entertaining because people are still watching at home. People are still watching at home. I'm playing for the name on the back, and I'm Liberty City, man. I got to have that.
You gotta go get it. Also, what about the players that need the blimps and need the fans? The other way.
That feed off of it.
Do you think it's the other way? Well, I bring up guys that are playing better in
Paul
the bubble.
George,
do you think it's some guy?
Paul George did it.
He had anxiety. Get your ass.
No, bro, that's real.
Playoff P.
100%.
Playoff P.
That's what
you got to win a series.
Explain this to him.
Oh, no, man.
Playoff game. Explain.
No, that's real.
He said it. He said it.
People asked him about his slump, and he literally said that in his press conference. He said, man, usually, I feed off of the fans and he said hostile environments, and I don't have that. That's what he said first before he came out and he talked about you know, dealing with anxiety and a little depression in a bubble. Bro, that's real. Come on, we just talked about guys in the lights and guys in front of fans. Man, I 100% believe that. It's hard to hear coming from him because he's been a superstar.
His nickname is Playoff P.
Playoff P.
How many playoff games you won? Next question. Let's go to the next part of this.
He ain't made
figure that out later.
Fred, he wasn't made for it out of the bubble. That's so you put him in the bubble. How are you going to be made for it? Yeah, Playoff P.
That's a whole other story. He nice, but Playoff P, you got to win some playoff games.
Channing, the restart. Before we even get into the whole restart, I guess the question is, should they have went to the bubble to begin with?
Knowing the mental health and knowing, bro, and being your dude, and talking to you about this, the mental health of your players, sending a guy to the bubble, you can't be concerned with that.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, the thing about it, they had Family Day. Family Day was last week sometime, where they let their kids, and I saw a video of Fred Van Vliet with his daughter hugging him for the first time in a month, bro. You're not thinking about him not seeing his daughter for a month. You're thinking about getting these games played where you can put them on ESPN and TNT and all and make your money. So, as a consumer, the bubble is genius. And I don't think you can argue with me about that.
What do you mean genius?
The bubble's genius, bro. They have not had one outbreak. NBA has not had one outbreak. The NBA is playing all their games. If it wasn't for social injustice and with Jacob Blake getting shot, which I agree with that protest, they would have played every single playoff game they scheduled. Business-wise, the bubble is genius. Thinking about social health of your employees, of players, bro, I would have went to the bubble to make money.
Yeah.
But when I just saw that I can't see my kids for a month, I would go crazy not to see my kids for a month. So your employees who you're paying, and they get paid handsomely, millions of dollars, just play. But the business side of it, bro, they've made up hundreds of millions of dollars with the NBA bubble.
Yeah. Storylines coming out the NBA out of this bubble. You know, for me, I mean, AD is a big one. I mean, this dude, bro, he just dropped 43 and made everything look easy. Luka, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but Luka is now in the face of the NBA.
The face?
Luka is the face. I mean, he did this without his number two. And not only that, bro, he make everybody play at his pace. He make the game easy for his teammates, and he's a dog. You can't tell, like, from a skill set standpoint, when you look at size, you look at strength, you look at smarts.
Range.
You look at all of that, like, who match up outside of LeBron? LeBron and KD, they...
114. LeBron, yeah, they're
moving
years
on.
Old.
They're moving on. Like, who's going to carry the torch? Luka.
I kind of agree with that.
You agree with that?
I kind of agree with that a little bit.
Luka,
I mean,
Doncic?
If anybody should be next, I would have went with James Harden, who has a similar skill set, similar style of play, very rangy, can drive at will at any given moment. But for some reason, they're going in the younger direction with having him the face of the NBA.
Yeah.
And their game is really the same. If you think about it and look at it and know the game of basketball, it's really no difference. So why not Harden, who is also not that old, right?
No, wait. Harden probably in year 8, year 9.
That's it?
Harden, yeah. He's young 30s.
Why not Harden, 30. But why Luka? I don't know.
I mean, you got to throw in the Greek Freak. He's a man child.
As the face?
Bro. He's about to win the MVP again for the second year.
It'll be tough for both of them to be the face because they're not really flashy guys. The NBA needs a flashy guy who's also a great player, a scorer.
Best scorer.
You know what I'm saying? And you said Harden is that guy.
Did Melo prove to everyone that he deserved to be in the league?
Without a doubt.
He's a starter. Some people saying he proved that he's a starter in the NBA.
He was a starter. Yeah. He played really well.
I would love to see what Melo did for Portland. I would love to see that in a Laker uniform. So, Bron and the Lakers going rapid.
Who is going to slow the game down that much for Carmelo to dribble the ball 114
times?
He's
a shooter, man.
All the slow motion, old man. Boy,
they need a shooter.
Carmelo Anthony is Bob Cousy right now.
He done, bro?
Bro, he's slow. He can get points, but he's slow. Y'all, I love Carmelo, bro. Lala. Yeah, he married Lala. Congratulations.
That's not even his game.
But that's what I'm saying. So now everybody's shooting threes and speeding up. And you're going to get Ibaka Carmelo, let him dribble it 100 times and post up and then repost and repost. Man, I went to sleep and woke up one time and Carmelo still had the ball.
Man, Melo nice, man.
Man, Melo is slow.
Dropping 21 a night is nice.
Who y'all like out the East?
The Heat. The Heat coming out the East anyway.
I just hope that they can contain Giannis or everybody else. Because they get Giannis. Giannis is a 30 and 15 guy.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they played two or three times before the season went on hold. And we won two of the three.
Yeah, they won two of the three.
If I'm not mistaken.
But if Giannis still goes off, Chad, and they let Middleton or Bledsoe or one of them boys start getting, they have to either stop everybody else or stop Giannis. They can't let Giannis and somebody else go
Bam
crazy.
Bam Adebayo.
All right, here we go. We got Bam Chef Adebayo. Nance.
Hello,
Shut him down.
Hello.
Okay. I don't know if I want to ask about the food or the outfit, but let's ask about the food. What you got for us?
Six spice Cajun shrimp and grits.
Six spice?
Yes, it's my take on
Cajun spice. Hold on. Yeah, explain what this six spices.
Well, it's a secret, but I created it's my version of Cajun season that I made.
Well, I mean, can you share with us? Like, when you're talking about your season, I mean, let us know. Let the people know what we eat.
All
I mean,
six are good. All six are good.
Oh, is that what it is? It's six spices?
Six spice.
Six spice.
So there's six different ingredients in there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Give us two.
Smoked paprika.
Big manna for the playbook.
All right, smoked paprika.
And onion powder.
Gracias.
Ooh, nice.
Enjoy.
Chef, so we just had a conversation about Chadwick.
Mm-hmm, I heard you guys. Really sad.
Black Panther. Why was that so impactful to us?
Oh, it was refreshing to see a black superhero. And also just, I mean, who didn't want to move to Wakanda? That was inspiring, and it was just a win for us all the way.
Yeah.
Yep. You taste it?
Yeah.
How is it?
Good.
You like it?
Thanks, Chef.
Enjoy.
We appreciate it.
Can you give us my oxtails? Good.
Some oxtails?
Just give us one day of oxtails.
You want oxtails?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And great.
Want...
It's real good right here.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
man. Enjoy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care.
Brian Urlacher. Let me read this.
You gonna do that while we eat?
I want to make sure I get this right. I played with Urlacher. Bro,
that's ridiculous.
Bro, you sent me that message.
I sent it to you.
And my exact words was like, bro, there's no way. I don't believe it. Like, this was I had some great teammates. This was my all-time favorite teammate. I still need to talk to him, but let me get this right. Brett Favre. So he tweeted this, right? NBA, they boycotted, right? Didn't play.
He put it on his story.
And then he put this on his Instagram story. Brett Favre played Monday Night Football game the day his dad died, and he threw for four TDs in the first half and was a legend for playing in the face of adversity. NBA players boycott the playoffs because a dude reaching for his knife wanted on a felony sexual assault warrant, which I believe, I mean, he was off all the way, was shot by police. What was your reaction to that?
First of all, I can tell Urlacher he didn't have a knife, right? This is a guy who was shot in the back seven times in front of his three sons. We're talking about trauma. You know, they love to throw out PTSD when it comes to everything else except black people. They talk about hereditary, you know, emotional scars from, you know, your ancestors. All this stuff. You bring up slavery, whatever you bring up, they shoot it down. Urlacher said this guy had a knife. Later they found out he never had a knife. Any other time you see an officer, they find a way to defuse the situation, right? And neutralize the threat without shooting them or without putting your knee in their neck. But when the skin tone or the hue of the skin, you know, when it's different, you know, they try to find a way to justify shooting or killing. In this situation, he's paralyzed from the waist down. So he's gonna live to be able to, you know, tell his story. even in the midst of being paralyzed from the waist down, it, when you add insult, you know, to the act, to everything that's occurred, they got the man handcuffed to his hospital bed. He can't go anywhere, right? But to really talk about Urlacher, I thought it was insensitive. I texted him, I DM'd him. You know, because I respected Brian.
Huh? He responded? Mm,
of course not. I respect him on the field, and I told him that. I acknowledged that. But man to a man, you got to be able to show some compassion and empathy, and especially in today's time. You know, and again, I don't want to get political. I don't want to talk about candidates too much or any of that stuff. But he's a big, big, big Trump supporter. And Trump has really...
Urlacher, a Trump supporter?
Yeah, of course.
Publicly came up, said that?
It's on his Instagram page. It's evident. Yeah. If you look at
how this... What happened?
Look at how this guy's manipulated.
Bro, but listen here, fella. Urlacher has a kid that's half black. If anybody knows, his son is half black. He made a baby with a black woman. So he has a little mixed breed child. My mom is white. Like, I'm allowed to say this. You know what I'm saying? So for him to think that way. But, bro, let's think about even the NBA, fellas. Let's be honest with everybody. The NBA, they boycotted the games. Kobe started to restart. How do you convert attention? Because that's what a boycott is. It's just attention. Mm-hmm. That's what all these riots are. Bro, a riot, does nothing tangible, but gets attention. So the boycott of the NBA last week, a couple weeks ago, the riots, it just grabs attention. So how do you convert attention into change? And that's what the NBA is doing. Bro, if you look at what the NBA is doing, they're all talking about voting. I watched the NBA commercial recently that was having all their top players talking about voting. That's tangible change. So with the boycott and with all these riots, if y'all really want to break this down, the converting the attention that is making in the change is about the vote. The NBA is trying to encourage 20% of the NBA players. I don't know if y'all heard these numbers. 20% of the NBA players are registered to vote. Only 20% of those guys that are telling other people to vote. So those guys have to vote, and they're trying to get encourage other people to vote. But this entire thing is political. So I said all that
I'm trying to follow him.
Okay.
So basically, you said all that
is political
in a conspiracy theory.
No.
That's what this is
the truth. What is the NBA? What is the NBA? Why did the Lakers?
That's what Trump said. The NBA is nothing but a political organization.
Why did
that's
the
saying right now?
So I'm gonna tell you, B. Why did
tell me.
The Lakers and the Clippers were both going to stop the playoffs?
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
The reason they restarted it because the NBA had an initiative. The initiative was the go vote initiative. So Jacob Blake dies, George Floyd dies, Breonna Taylor dies, all these people die. The NBA's answer is to try to get a go vote initiative.
But is that initiative enough for change to actually happen?
That's what it is, bro.
I'm just saying.
You understand
think about what you're just saying. Think about this real quick. How many years we've been voting?
How many years have
we just been voting in general?
Have me and you been voting or the entire black population?
In its entirety been voting.
The entire black population? Not enough. Not enough, bro. If you look at the numbers, the African-American and the Hispanic population are not getting out there like the white population getting out there.
Are you saying things are going to change based on who's voted in office?
Who's voting?
Do you think the killings are going to stop?
Yes, because whoever's voting in office now, Chad, is going to have to deal with
Did you hear the question?
The problems that are here. Bro, I'll tell you this. Last year, do y'all understand, 4 years ago when Trump got in office, he lost the popular vote, but he won the Electoral College. So that means that it's 50-50 of the votes. The black voice was not on the yes side because the black voice was not registered. And that's why all these NFL, NBA, I saw Deshaun Watson all the way to LeBron James talking about go register to vote. Chad, if the black people go vote, there's no way that Trump gets back in office.
Say Biden wins.
Yes.
How is the change going to occur outside when it's people that are making, police officers?
Yes. Because of the fact that, you know how every time the NFL tries to make a stance, Trump comes back and badmouths them? Anytime the NFL takes a knee, Trump comes back and calls him son of a. Anytime that anybody any league makes a stance against the social injustice, and it's not the military. There's nothing about the military, and that's the narrative that Trump wants to push on you. Respect the country, the military fought for this. My granddaddy fought in the Vietnam War. He would not want to see Jacob Blake shot in his back right. seven times.
None of that's the thing, bro.
So leaving guys in office that are going to perpetuate the thought of kneeling against a country that right. does not, like Doc Rivers says, we love this country, but this country does not love us back. So I want to put somebody in office that's going to listen to Doc Rivers, listen to this podcast, listen to us. And right now, if Trump gets back in office, that's not going to happen. He's not going to respect this black voice, this African-American voice that's on this panel.
Who's appointed at the highest seat mm-hmm. is not going to be able to change the people that don't have on hoodies anymore. They're wearing shirts, ties, jackets. They're police officers in positions of power. That's not changing how they act out in the real world, regardless of who's sitting at the highest seat.
But the policy, let's be honest, the defund
is at the ballot box. It really is. But here's the issue is we got to vote. We got to participate. We got to understand the mechanics of voting, but we also need to run. Like we need to be represented. Mm-hmm. And I think this entire movement, if it doesn't push us to do one thing, it should do this. We need more people like us in those seats because, like you said, man, no, for us to actually provoke change, we got to understand what's going on in our communities. We got to be able to validate that, listen to it, and then pass laws that's going to actually help the people who aren't represented.
I understand the importance of voting. I get it, but it's still, I'm thinking about even the people in positions of power, they're still going to execute and do things the way they've always done, regardless of who's at the highest seat. That's all I'm saying.
And who's at the highest seat? But if you look at, like, and Trump lies about what all he did for black people and all that's lies. Everybody knows that. But, bro, if you think about it, like, the things that people don't know about Trump, the president can appoint justices and judges at the highest level. Like, you're talking about the highest level. So Trump can appoint these justices and these judges and all these people that are making big-time decisions that their term does not run out. So he can put all these people in the place of that power that now we're fighting up, but we have to fight up and we have to get somebody that, let's say Trump in the last 4 years has appointed people with his mind thought.
Local.
Let's put somebody else in power that can appoint other people at a higher level, to both of y'all's point, at that higher level that's now going to hire people of that thing. Kamala Harris being the vice president, bro,
I love it.
I talked to my wife about it. If Kamala ever winked at me, I got a pass. My wife will let me sneak off with Kamala. My wife told me, like, if Kamala ever was to look at you because I'm fine and be like, ooh, come on back to the room, I'm going to go to Kamala's room.
All right, give him some more Duce.
But real talk, to have a black woman, the first black vice president, first woman president, like all that combined in one, bro, like a lot of people don't know the tangible thought of that, where the stuff we hear about these judges and justices and at the state level and even in the DC level, Chad, that's gonna happen if Biden and Kamala are in charge, that they're gonna hire people that don't make front page.
I mean,
they don't make all that,
but that's gonna happen. It's both important, but the power is at the ballot box and it's actually at the local level. Like, we gotta participate. So we talk about the people who police our communities. I mean, that's where it starts. You know, do we know who's running? Are we represented there? You know, that's where we really gotta do a lot of work and educate ourselves. You know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I'm voting. Fred, you voting?
I'm voting.
You voting?
I'm voting.
What we gotta understand is, we gotta understand what Biden's, what his policy proposals are versus what, you know, Trump proposals and policies that he's already implemented and what he's gonna counter with, you know, against what Biden proposes. You have majority of this company, I mean, this country obviously is white, we're the minority. And our people, we vote, we'll go to the polls based on emotions, what we think we wanna see. But then you have the majority of the country that's gonna go and vote based on how they're gonna secure their pockets and their future. Mm. Trump is talking about tax breaks and corporate taxes and all that different stuff. you have a slew of people that are gonna go to the polls just because they wanna save money. Because America is built on capitalism. They don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? So we gotta get out there. The people who they don't care about, we gotta be more aware and cognizant of why we need to get out there. Because every one of our votes are gonna count because we are in the minority. So we need all of us.
You know what?
You understand what I'm saying?
We do. And we to that point, Brett, you asked me too. Are you?
And not just black.
I didn't start voting consistently on a local and a national level until I married my wife. Because I was the dude, I was the dumb guy that said, man, I ain't but one. I ain't about to sit out. And I swear to God, this is my thing. I ain't about to sit out here at Western Library. That's why I got to vote. We got to vote at Western Library. I'm not about to sit here and let the people talk me to death to vote. I'm not going to sit here just to bubble in this thing and let these people talk me to death for an hour to vote. And my wife said, it counts. It matters. And now me, my wife, and our kids sit there in line so that me and my wife can vote every time. And my wife made me vote. My wife told me that
come to the cookout, you vote.
Right, that vote means
you show me you register to vote, come to the cookout, get a free plate. Little stuff to get our people out. They got to know.
Especially in Florida. Florida matters. Florida is one of
Yes, but it matters. Every vote matters. Don't think that dumb stuff that I used to think when I was young.
I'm going to bring it back here. Y'all didn't answer my question. I brought up Urlacher, and y'all just started talking about politics, Joe Biden, Trump. Like, y'all boys, y'all didn't even answer the question.
Listen, what he said was insensitive.
Insensitive. I
didn't play with him.
If someone said that was on your team, let's say everybody was playing ball right now.
Like right now?
How would
he wouldn't even say that?
All right, since you're talking about teammates.
Chad.
He wouldn't even say that.
100%
Fred. He wouldn't call
if he was in the NFL, would he have said that?
He wouldn't cause that type of controversy as an active player.
Right.
You know why? Why?
Same thing that Drew Brees
did. He got to come to work on Monday.
What's the difference between what Drew said?
He got to come to work on Monday.
Bingo.
He got to come to work on Monday.
What did Drew Brees say?
Urlacher would never have said that if he had to come to work on Monday.
What did Drew Brees say?
I guarantee you wouldn't have.
What did Drew Brees say? What did his own teammates do?
He tried.
They came at him.
He cleaned up quick.
Mm-hmm.
Quick. Did Urlacher apologize yet?
But I'm saying he's in a...
He didn't apologize.
Did he apologize yet?
No.
I just want to say what one of his teammates, a guy who played with him, talking about... I'm going to read a quote from Forte. Becoming Urlacher poster was void of empathy, compassion, wisdom, and coherence, but full of pride and ignorance. I pray for those who have been blinded by their wealth, privilege, and earthly fame that breeds arrogance in their heart. He hit it on the head. Urlacher got to sit his ass down. He got to find some compassion and understand this is about humanity. This ain't about no politics. It ain't about what Trump said, being divided. This is about real life, man.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm shocked because I played with this guy. And like I said earlier, you know, this is one of my all-time favorite team. My favorite teammate ever was. The reason why I'm shocked, because he was the dude that kept the locker room together. He was the dude that, he was the first superstar leader on a team that I saw hang out with the scout team guys, like literally out, dinner, bringing them to the house, playing cards. So in my head, like, and he comes from where we come from. He's from New Mexico, bro. He ain't grow up like that. So I'm shocked. Like, I was shocked when Fred sent me that. I was like, no, that ain't Urlacher. That someone hacked him. So it brings me to this. Now we're talking about the NFL. It seems like there's more unity. In 2016, when Cap took that knee, we were so divided. That's one. Nowadays, what was going on with racial tension, season 6 days away, what happens when there's another black man shot down in the streets by a police officer?
During football season?
The NBA set the precedent that, listen, black man shot, black player don't play.
There's only one way it's going to be able
during
to happen.
During football season.
During football, it got to be the quarterbacks. It got to be the Russell Wilsons.
Sunday's canceled.
Listen to the only reason this is going to happen or work. It got to be the Russell Wilsons, the Patrick Mahomes.
But we always say that about the quarterbacks. I feel like this movement is bigger than the quarterbacks.
That's who it has to start with. Who's the leader of the team?
So is Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Thomas take a knee.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins take a knee. Oh,
the taking a knee is fine.
Stay
in the locker room. They stay in the locker room.
They say we not playing.
It has to start with the quarterback.
So you mean to tell me
The quarterback.
So you're in the locker room right now.
Yeah. You're talking about, black man, you're talking about 40, black man 40, shot, black man 45 on, men black per man team.
Shot, black, you're in the locker room right 53, now. 53, 53. Black yeah. man shot, black man killed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the locker room right now, active. What do you do?
What do I do? Personally, I'm be honest. Y'all's career is different than mine. My best year ever was $6 million a year. And that set me for life. We know how I am financially. Mm. Bro, what they paying guys that set out, $350, the COVID sit out? I wouldn't do that, bro.
$150.
$150, bro, I wouldn't do that. I am going to be at every
and
practice.
You got to pay it
back. I'm going to play in every game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to pay it back. We can get into that. But, bro, from my standpoint of how my career went, I wouldn't protest anything. And I'm, you know, strong, like I'm saying, like I want, you know what I'm saying, I want equality. Am I going to sacrifice $1 million for the movement? No. No. I want to know how y'all would think, because C.J. Mosley is giving up $7 million this year with the COVID, and I thought he was crazy. And I was like, bro, I would pick money over it all. And I say that right now, and I think a lot of players are. I'm going to put it out here to y'all to answer. Is there a number that y'all would say, okay, I'll give that up for social justice? Because, Chad, I ain't going to lie to you. There is not a number of a game. You give me $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on Sunday to play? Bro, I was going to play ball. I was going to go get that bread.
When I think about it, everybody's situation is different, too. These dudes are relying on these checks. When we think about NFL, I'm thinking everybody loaded on the back end or loaded on the front end. People are relying on this to feed their families, to pay bills. Everybody ain't eating like that.
Well, what about the pressure? Like the NBA players going into the bubble, and the WNBA players, it felt like a sense of guilt, you know, that they was playing while black people were being shot by police. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we got the financial side, but what about just that guilt and that weight that you got to carry every single Sunday?
If you didn't play, would it change? Think about it. Let's say the NBA didn't start up and didn't play. Would anything change?
This is what I was saying.
I'm just asking.
100%. Yes. Hold on. So we talked about this in season one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been over 150 things that's changed from police. Yeah, I guess maybe it's the right term. Police reform at the local level. No chokeholds. There's people that have been fired. There's been a lot of change. There's been a lot of conversation. I think we moved the ball forward. So when the NBA players, they didn't play, you mean to tell me that wasn't significant during this time? This is probably one of the most powerful moments in American sports history.
You've never seen that.
Because of how we think. Like, that's how we thought in 2016.
Go get that bread.
I'm taking a knee and losing my Nike deal, my Adidas deal.
Go get that bread.
That was their mentality in 2016. That's why what Cap did was so wild, because guys don't think like that, one. And two, he did it when it was unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a popular thing to do. Now, guys, it's the popular thing and it's guilty. And guys feel guilty about it. Playing while people are getting shot.
That's why it's huge. You got guys like LeBron leading the way on the NBA side. You're gonna have the non-quarterback guys in the NFL lead the way. I think that if something like this does happen again during the NFL season, you'll have the guys, the Russell Wilson, the guys in place that step up and say, hey, we gotta sit down.
But the precedent was set.
We gotta put this on pause.
Fred, the precedent was set.
But
the precedent was set. Like, there's no other way.
But no. I gotta ask this though. I gotta ask this about your Uncle Raj. That's what you call Roger Goodell, right? I gotta ask you about Uncle Raj. So
you saw the interview, right?
The Milwaukee Bucks. Yes. I'm gonna ask. The Milwaukee Bucks said they're not playing. That was the day after Jacob Blake got shot 7 times in the back for walking back to his car with 3 kids in it. Fred, I don't know if somebody gonna pull out a knife and stab a cop with 3 kids in the car. But it's just all that is speculation. So then on Wednesday, the Milwaukee Bucks said they're coming out. So then now the Orlando Magic said, okay, we're not gonna play either. At that point, the NBA decided to cancel all the games, not make the Milwaukee Bucks forfeit. The Lakers and the Trailblazers play later that night. They ended, postponed all the games. They didn't make those guys forfeit. Would the NFL cancel? That means that we're going to pay you back the money we owe you. I do not believe the NFL is going to cancel Sunday.
They have no choice.
They're not going to cancel Sunday, B.
No,
they're
sport,
not going to cancel Sunday
no company,
because a black dude gets shot.
The government ain't
and I don't
this
feel good saying
right
that,
now.
But that's
they're
real.
They're not going to cancel. And
they're not going to cancel.
You know what's going to make it even easier to do it, though? Because there are no damn fans in the stand.
Bro, they're
you can play
not
on Sunday.
Going to
you can play on Monday.
Sunday.
All right, let's do a FanDuel bet. Let's do a FanDuel bet. I bet $10,000 that when a black man is shot, because I hate to say it that way.
It's gonna happen, B. Don't act.
You
like,
know what I mean? Think about what happened since George Floyd, right?
We got 4 months left. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. September, October.
It's gonna happen.
There ain't gonna be any playing. Because think about what happened. Bucks said I'm not playing.
Not that, practicing.
They said I'm not playing. The Bucks.
Oh, the Milwaukee
back
Bucks.
To the NBA.
Okay.
That gesture trickled down all the way to the U.S. Open in tennis, the WNBA, MLB, and even in the NFL. Now, there was 9 teams that practiced, but the rest, they didn't play at all. They didn't practice at all.
I mean, it's,
so
it's,
I bet 10 grand that.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Anybody
want to
take that bet?
I'm cheap.
10 racks. 10 racks. Bro, 10 racks that the NFL cancels a game for social injustice.
No, a team's going to boycott, then everybody's going to follow, and then they're going to cancel.
So that's to make sure this clear. 10 grand.
Take the cancel out. I'm just saying
so
that.
So there's going to be a Sunday.
The guys ain't gonna play.
There's going to be a Sunday when a football game gets canceled for social justice.
Yes.
Yes.
Bet.
Air shake because we're doing the social distancing. No, Jack, no. It's too much money, bro. NFL made $9 billion a year.
The NBA make money, too.
But it's just NFL is different, bro. That's 15 dudes you got to go on the same page. When Giannis walked in the locker room to 14 other dudes and said, we are not playing. I don't have a good Greek voice. But when this motherfucker said, we are not playing, everybody shook their head and looked at the flow. When somebody walk in the NFL locker room and say, we are not playing, they're going to be like, so who
man,
paying
I
the
need,
rent?
I need the check. I need the
I'm
check.
I'm telling you, Chad, where that check?
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he got to eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You got to light the wheels straight up.